Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight Studios in St. Louis, Missouri, located on the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard over there on the hill. They come out Monday the 12th, September 12th. You can see Tracy Swigert there recording her new record, Monday 8 p.m. to close. And then Sunday, your friends and mine, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, will be there on Sunday the 18th, recording a loft session. So come out to those events. Check out GaslightSTL.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And get involved and come check it out. Book yourself a tour if you haven't been over there. Take a look at what they got going on. They're just a great facility. Some wonderful recordings are coming out of Gaslight right now. There's a lot going on. Check it all out at GaslightSTL.com.
Hey, this is Vinny Valenza from Blue City Deli, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out at Blue City Deli with Vinny Valenza.
Perfect.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I guess. Everybody doing?
It's yeah.
Good to see you.
Yeah, man, I'm very excited about this. I'm a big fan of you know, pretty much everything you're doing here with the restaurant and the music and. And I haven't been over to Mello's yet. I need to try the pizza, but but I know you're busy, and I wanted to help showcase a little bit what you're about and spread the good word. And
I appreciate it.
So yeah,
definitely.
A lot of this for me is a good excuse for me to get to hang out with some cool people that I admire and get to know them a little better. So. And that was the case for you. Every time we talked, you know, it's usually when there's a show going on, so it's very difficult to actually communicate over the music. So it's nice to find a time like this to where it's quiet and you can sit and get to know somebody a little better. So
this is about as quiet as it's going to be in the deli.
Yeah. We're recording after hours. You said it was kind of a busy day today. It was the first like beautiful day. The heat kind of broke and the humidity, and
that's usually when the heat breaks, everybody comes. You know, I mean, we've had great crowds all summer, even with the heat, but everybody's in a more festive mood.
Sure.
You know, the humidity's down, and it feels good out, and everybody's.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you guys in, okay?
You got it.
it's good to hear that business is going good. I mean,
it's sort of. You know, just a beautiful time of year. Again, with the heat sort of subsides, people mentally know, okay, the humidity's, you know, breaking, and it's fall is in the air, which usually means there's going to be a street party.
Sure.
on Victor and McNair. So
yeah.
We're getting excited.
I guess the last time I was in was for Roland Johnson's release party here, and that was a. That was a real good party. The place was packed, overflowing out on the street, and it's always fun to come down here for that, or you know, and shows are around town. But whenever I can see a bunch of my friends, you know, all the guys on stage, and Roland and Paul were on the show not too long ago, and talking about the record and stuff. But it's just always fun when I walk in, I see all these friendly faces that I recognize, and
yeah.
It's a nice. Community you're building here in the Blue City Deli.
Oh, thank you. Well, there was a lot of smiles on people's faces that night, if you remember. What a cool thing. A man that's been one of the great soulful voices in St. Louis, and what the guys like Paul Niehaus and Kevin O'Connor collaborated, brought the younger musicians together to out of respect for Roland, and it was just a beautiful thing. I was so excited, and that's one of my I'm a big blues lover, but one of my favorite styles of music is the old 60s stack sound and soul, and Roland, that's him, you know.
For sure. Yeah, I kind of, when I talked about that Imagine This Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Yeah. And that when I was talking to him about that record, it was almost like somebody dusted off an old Otis Redding album that, you know, like a long lost album, and it, you know, obviously it's got his own flair to it, but I mean, it's just such a great, you know, classic sound off that record, and his voice, and it's just a great record.
Yeah, and he's a great guy, and it's a great record. Roland just nailed it, and we're excited. Well, we've got the Street Festival coming up October 1st, and of course Roland and that the band that did the CD, at least most of those members are going to be at the street party. They're going to be actually the finale, and it's going to be fun.
Sure. Yeah. So what? Look, you know, you're doing you have the restaurant, the Blue City Deli here. You've been doing music and stuff, and then the Street Fest and things. But where does it like all start? Like, you decide that you want to bring the blues into here and you want to do like that, and then when does the Street Fest get going out of that too?
As far as when did it all start?
Yeah.
About 1968.
Yeah.
When in North St. Louis, well, we were North St. Louis guys, and the rage when they would throw these CYC dances, and that's when it hit me. There was a lot of bands, soul bands, that would come and play for the kids, and it just really hit me.
Yeah.
You know, we were a very musical family. We listened to a lot of old rock and roll records and things of that nature, but that soulful sound is what really got me going. So that's where I got hooked on the Stax sound, because that stuff was all coming out around 1968, 1969, was really hitting hard, the Sam and Dave, the Otis Redding, and it just really hit me. So that locked me in there, and then eventually got me on the path of the blues music. So that's really where it started, that love for the music, that intense passion, I guess you would say. It planted a seed, and I just fell in love with it.
Do you remember any of those groups?
Yeah, there was a band called the Shadows. They played at a lot of the CYC dances. They'll be on Friday nights up in Corpus Christi. A lot of people out there would remember Corpus Christi.
Yeah.
There'd be hundreds and hundreds of kids there. And the Shadows had like a review where they'd have... they had the basic band with a horn section. They had a guy come out and sing. Then they had like three or four guys do the Temptation, Four Tops type stuff. Then they had the four girls would come out and do the Supremes and all the girl groups.
Okay.
And it was a review. It was great.
Yeah.
That was one of the bands. And then there was a band called Soul Town Review, and all soul music, real danceable stuff. And the kids just loved it.
Sure. I remember seeing pictures and stuff, and you know, doing a little reading up a little bit, but like groups like ZZ Top would do like high school proms and dances and stuff and things before they ever took off, and it was just kind of funny to see those pictures and things and knowing where those guys are at now. Like, you know, that obviously ZZ Top became one of the biggest bands of the, you know, 70s and 80s and stuff, and
right,
still going. So,
and they were doing proms and dances.
Yeah, right.
There was a lot of that going on. Yeah, I don't know. Nowadays, I guess it's not going on.
Yeah, it's a lot more just I guess some guy shows up with as a DJ for the night, and
right.
Yeah, no more. Not really the live band dances around here a lot. So
yeah, and there's nothing like live music.
Yeah,
you know, there's nothing like it. You know, I can see it right here at the deli, how the people respond.
Sure.
The bands in the audience sort of had this back and forth thing going on. A lot of times it just explodes into, you know, mm-hmm, a beautiful noise. You know?
Yeah.
So it's great.
Yeah, especially in a place like this where you're such a intimate, where you can, I saw Al Holiday here also, and like you got like a 9-piece band on stage, overflowing the stage, and then you're, you know, filling up this room with so much sound and things. It's, it's quite an experience. And then you got everybody up dancing. And so it's something about that energy that's created that's just contagious and stuff. Everybody gets moving and having a great time. But
yeah, it's good. It's really special. I'm honored to be part of it.
Yeah, man.
I really am.
So you're at the dance and you're getting involved in this blues music and stuff, and then has it always been? Has you been a fan of restaurants and food industry?
Well,
stuff,
I mean, food, as you can tell, is part of my history. On the sandwich side, it started at home. We had Saturday lunches every Saturday. We'd always stop working. We, you know, did our jobs around the house, and we'd have like a loaf of fresh Italian bread, Genoa salami, Italian cheese, the olive salad, you know, the crushed olives, and we'd sit down, you know, when we were all finished doing our little work around 12, 1 o'clock, and we'd break for lunch, and then we'd go back and finish our work, and the family would come together. It was always a special time, and I tried to pass that on with my kids.
Yeah.
When they were little, we would do that. We'd go down on the hill and get some of the best, you know, cheese and stuff like that that tasted good, and then we'd have it for lunch on Saturdays. It was Saturday lunch. And that's and then we have big Sunday dinners and things of that nature, and so food's always been a part. And a buddy of mine, I back in the 80s, I wanted to get into the food business, and I wanted to open like a little Italian cafe type thing. This is before I really got into playing the blues, and so a buddy of mine gave me a break. He said, come on, I'll show you, you know, I'll show you the business. I fell in love with it. His name's Joe Alagna. He's got his brother Tom. They have Fratelli's. They're out of, we're all from North County. Mm-hmm. And he ended up in St. Charles County, but at the time he was in Delwood. He had a great little Italian restaurant, and he showed me the whole nine yards on how to make sauce and tzatziki and how to cook pasta properly and make pizzas and all that stuff, and I just fell in love with it.
Yeah.
But I was just waiting for the opportunity, and in my mind, I also had this music thing going on, so I didn't know what both entities were going to meld together. And then, you know, I was working some other jobs. I had to pay the bills for the family, and I ended up in New Orleans on a little business trip, and that sort of thing started really coming together. I was like, oh, man, this town's got it, you know? They got the... They got the food, the music, the whole, everything's going all at once to a wonderful recipe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, things started coming together then. So,
yeah.
That was back in the early 90s when it all started making sense to me, where I started formulating Blue City Deli.
Sure.
So,
yeah. I've always, obviously, have a very strong passion for music and food as well. And I might be where you were. You know, in the 90s there, because I keep kicking around ideas of doing something, and like, I don't know, obviously I don't have it all finalized or money or the other things, but hopefully the right opportunity is knocking. So I'd like to figure out where I belong in this thing. And
And that's sort of where I was at too.
Yeah.
And really, it just got to be the right time. It's the timing and the right fit, and if it's meant to be, because I tried a variety of times. And I already had a name, Blue City Deli, back, and I think it was the... I got a picture that I drew of Blue City Deli in my mind, what my imagination was, what it was going to be. And this was back in the early 90s. And then, you know, it's the typical thing where, you know, you got to go with the idea. You don't have a lot of money, and you have to go... You got to sell it to the banks. And there was a lot of no's, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to work. And I was like, I know this is going to work. I take my word for it.
Sure.
I don't know if it's going to work. You know, the bankers would come back, and a lot of no's. And then, my wife would say, Vince, maybe just let it go.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not going to work. And I'm like, oh, I would just felt like a, you know, I broke up with a girlfriend or something like that. It's how I would be, you know, down in the dumps for a couple of days. And I, you know, say, okay. Go forward, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, I start going at it. You know, I go back. I know this is going to work. We gotta do this. We gotta have a Blue City Deli, and this is again in the early 90s. So I would try, and people would say no, and then I sort of held on to the idea and kept going back, and eventually, the way this place started was, I went to Dave Beardsley, who's the part of the Blues Society, and has been around. He did a lot with the Blues Museum.
Yeah.
Dave actually was in, lived across the street from the deli. It was an empty building at the time. And he and I told him, I said, I got to do something with music and food. I'm going to open up a hot dog and Italian beef cart at Soulard Market and play a stereo with all this great, you know, blues music. I think people will love it. And he goes, yeah, we're going to do a website. And I had, when I was playing music, I played back in the 90s with a band called the Pennsylvania Slim Blues Band. Slim's still out there playing.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his.
Oh, yeah, great guitar player. And he, oh, anyway, people knew I wanted to do this Blue City Deli because I would blabber it to everybody. I'm going to open up a deli soon. And anyway, Dave mentioned about 2438 McNair. He said, there's an empty space there. You might want to give him a call. I think it's pretty inexpensive. And that's what, you know, I left his house. He was going to do a website because he did websites. He was going to do a website for the little hot dog place I wanted to do, or the hot dog cart. And I just driving by, slowed up just enough to get the phone number of the people that were leasing this place out, of the deli out. And again, it was empty at the time. It was just a white box building. And then we just got the ball rolling, and it fell into place.
Yeah.
It just was, I knew it was meant to be. It just,
Sure.
It was easy. There was no, you know, I put my little plan together, went to the bank, and they said, bingo, let's, we'll give you a shot. We started very small.
Yeah. Did you did you ever catch that Stranger Things yet on Netflix? Have you seen
it?
Well, the reason I only bring it up because like I read a thing online, a similar story, like that show blew up to become like the show of the summer right now on Netflix and stuff. A lot of people are talking about it, watching it, and they're everywhere right now. But the story came out afterwards, like that 20-something networks passed on it. Like, you know, all the big networks, they all said, no, we don't think it's going to work.
Uh-huh.
But they believed in it. You know, they were like, no, we think we got something here. And now, like, it's just kind of crazy that it really worked. You know, they believed in their project, and then they finally got somebody to back it, which was Netflix, and they put it out there, and it became a huge success. But it's just so it's cool to hear those stories of people that never gave up on that dream, and
right.
You know, and they kept, you know, like, no, this, I believe in this, you know, this is, there's something here, and
yeah,
and make it happen. So so that's very cool, like, that you know, now we're, what, been here 12 years now?
It'll be 12 years October 1st. Yeah.
That's
time flies.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I can't believe it.
So as, you know, you're saying you started small and things, but did this, you know, how long's, to take to kind of be where, because I'm fairly new to the deli. I've been coming here for a little while. Like, oh, I worked nights for like 10 years, so
wow.
I couldn't do Wednesdays because I was at work, and then I also worked part time for the YMCA on Saturday morning, so I'd always be at work Saturday morning, afternoon. So by the time I got out of work,
we're closed.
You're already closed. So there was a lot of time that I never could make it down for the music or in the food and everything. It was very difficult. I also live out in Wentzville. So
wow, that might make a little difference.
Yeah. So anyway, just recently my schedule changed at work, and I've been able to be more involved down here in the city. I started working at Oyster Bar in February and stuff, so I'm driving down this way a lot more than I was. So I've been able to get by more for the music and eat here and stuff. So. But how long does it take to what we see today as Blue City Deli?
Well, there's little. What would you call it? Little times that I can go through a little timeline. Do
yeah.
it like that. We opened October 1st, 2004. I don't know what day that was.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I think it was a Friday. It seemed like there was 8,000 people out there. There might have been, you know, 20.
Right.
And, you know, we sort of had a plan. We had a system in place. And it was myself, my son, and two other employees.
Mm-hmm.
We opened the doors, and we opened, I guess, 11 o'clock, I guess. I think of what it was. Oh, we actually opened up that morning. We used to be open in the morning. And we were trying to figure out who we were. We were going to do breakfast. Or, you know, we just did, like, Danish rolls and sweet rolls and coffee. That didn't last very long.
Yeah.
But when we opened up we would open up, then we'd close up a little bit and get ready for lunch, you know. So we got ready for lunch, and, you know, maybe we saw 30 customers, which we thought was great. And it started very small, like where we're at now. There was actually no seats. I think there might have been a little stand-up bar those first couple days. It was half the size. Everything was done in this room, including dishes and everything. And we made the sandwiches behind you where you're sitting now, close to where the potato chips are at and stuff like that. They made the sandwiches over there. And it's crazy. We were blowing fuses, and things were wired up crazy, and it was nuts. But we kept pushing forward. But we had music right pretty much from the get-go.
Okay.
We had Brian Kern, you know Brian. He was the first show. He was the first show outside, and the guys would actually said, we need to get some music out on the streets. So we had acoustic on Saturday afternoons. Brian Kern, Eric McSpadden, Larry Griffin, Bob Case, just to name a few.
Yeah.
And we did a little rotation, and they'd be out there playing, you know, on the corner facing the, on Victor McNair, on the corner of the deli, facing in towards the building, and people really liked it.
Right.
Just real, you know, it was all acoustic. It was neat. And we did that for the first, I guess, year and a half or so. I don't remember what we did in the winter. It's sort of scary. I don't think we did anything on Saturdays because, you know, I guess it was nice weather.
Yeah.
You know, it had to be nice weather out, friendly type situation. We didn't have room inside to do it. But when the weather was nice, we did acoustic. It got up to, I'll never forget, it was 100 degrees out, and Bob Case was out there playing. There was one person sitting out there watching him because it was so intensely hot.
Yeah.
We didn't have enough AC inside the deli. The windows weren't tinted. It was a rough atmosphere, you know, but people kept coming in. So we got the windows tinted. I got a little window unit on top of the little bit of AC we had in here. So we just baby-stepped the whole thing.
Right.
And the break that we've got with the deli was when, her name was Rose Martelli. She was a very tough food critic with the RFT. We got wind. She had come in here and tried our sandwiches, you know. Then we got a phone call from her. I was like, oh, God, please. Yeah. It can make it or break it. And we got a really good review from her, you know. And that really was a launching point on the food. Because it got out there. People were reading about it because they looked at her food reviews. And that was the first food review we had. That was huge.
Yeah.
And that was like, I think that I got it on the wall somewhere.
Okay.
I think it's right down there.
Yeah.
But I can't remember the date, 2006 maybe, 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And things started a little bit at a time growing. Then we continued the music outside. The landlord was going to leave. The landlord that we had at the time, they had a little realtor business in the back where our kitchen is now. And they asked us if we wanted to take that little portion. And we talked to them, and we did. And at that point, we put the kitchen in the back. We expanded the seating. We put the stage up, and things started really happening.
Yeah.
So
this is for me. I'm sure many others will agree. But what you got going on with the the decor, all the pictures and stuff, and especially the St. Louis flag on the window there. All these are like pretty iconic images. I think you see any of these any performances from. Online, all the videos or pictures and stuff, that flag is and Blue City Deli right above it is all, you know, on every picture, and it's like, it's really cool to see, and it's like, you know right where it's at, you know. Well, like I always think that's really cool, and
that was planned,
right? Yeah,
I am a businessman,
sure,
too.
Yeah, but
I just thought, you know, we want people to know if somebody does take a picture,
yeah,
where this was at, that it's in St. Louis.
Yeah.
I love our city. Roots run deep in our family, and it's very, very important to me, you know, to get that word out. It's a great blues music community with the bands and the fans and people. I think this is a special time for music in St. Louis. I think it's really going in a great direction, it's exciting. I'm just glad to be part of it. You know, I knew in the back of my mind, Phil Jarvis actually did both of the pieces.
Okay.
And they don't even match, but it didn't make any difference.
Right.
Because one's one color, one's the other. And it looks like two different pieces melded together. But we knew, you know, I was like, people are going to see the pictures. I want to know, hey, it's St. Louis.
So, yeah. Yeah, I think that's great.
It's not, you know, we love Chicago. We love New Orleans. We love Memphis, all the blue cities. But we are St. Louis, you know. There's a lot happening here. So
I say it all the time on this show and anywhere anybody will listen. But you know, so many people, you know, kind of forget the what's going on here. Like I share these lists online on Fridays and Saturdays, all these shows in town, and people, you know, all that started because people were like, there's nothing to do in this town. It was like there is so much going on in this town. There's so much great music all over the place, you know, blues especially. But I mean, there's, you know, great music all over the place, and it's just cool to see. You know, I think for as business wise, like for yourself, I think all these most successful businesses, you know, it's because of music too. Like it's a nice partnership. You know, I think you look at all these places that have longevity. You know, it seems like a lot of them have live music going on and stuff,
right,
in some sense.
Have you ever gone to a restaurant when, I'm sure you have, you're like, oh, this looks like a nice place, and you know, there's
right,
no sound at all, or there's the local FM rock channel, nothing, you know, going on, you're like, you're going, you know, you've got to make it blend.
Sure.
You know, you got to make it work.
Yeah.
And music is so important. So.
Yeah.
This is our Pizzioli guy.
Yeah.
Talking about Mello. This is Joey.
Hi, Joey. We got a special guest here. Welcome to the show, man.
It's Shane. Thank you.
So we kind of touched on a little bit early, but so now now things are opening up right behind Blue City Deli. You got Mello's Pizza. How long's that been going now? Like,
it's been going for what month are we in? September.
Yeah, September.
9 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. I know. I'd heard a little bit about, you know, whenever it was getting started and things, and then I was telling Benny I haven't been able to make it down for the pizza yet, but I've been seeing, you know, a lot more online. Facebook and everything else, pictures and things, and it looks awesome. But you guys are, wood fire, right?
It's a wood fired oven that we had made in Naples, and it's a nice addition for the deli, you know, bring this corner more alive.
Yeah.
Thursday night, we had the music down here. There's people everywhere on the sidewalk. It's just like a big party.
For sure. That and where was this idea? You know, where do you decide, like, let's open up a pizza place in the garage next door?
Yeah. Well, I'll let Joey talk about that. We acquired the property in 2013. This whole, which was the deli building.
Yeah.
And there was a garage in the back, and there was an empty yard, nothing in it.
You know? Right.
So Joey started digging into food a little bit, into the bread business, I guess you would say, or dough.
Yeah. Started getting obsessed with pizza.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We
had this space back there, so we said, let's try this out.
I've been obsessed with pizza for a long time, but
yeah,
I just never got into making my own yet.
There's a lot of people obsessed with pizza, eating it.
Yeah.
You've noticed. It's interesting.
Sure.
It's even different than the sandwiches, but it's a... it's coming along slowly but surely, and it's almost in the same, like the deli, but different, you know. It's a slow process, and the evenings are great, and
Yeah, you guys are kind of on limited hours right now. Like, I know you just expanded hours, right?
Yeah, it's gonna meld into the deli. It's not necessarily gonna be the same hours. Right. We're not sure what it's gonna do.
Yeah.
We're still testing it out. But we noticed the evenings are really good. Like tonight was great.
Sure.
Friday nights are really good.
Yeah, definitely.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, like you saying, being obsessed with pizza. Like I would always. It's kind of like become my life goal to like try every pizza, like, you know, just out of curiosity. And like, you know, like every time I go to Chicago, I try a different one, and you know, just a different place in town. And but yeah, just it's always exciting. And, you know, whether it's deep dish or thin crust or whatever. But so yeah, I don't know. It's just always fun for me. I enjoy because everybody does it different. You know, and that's what I think is. It's all still. You know,
flour.
Yeah, meat and cheese and sauce, and but people do it their own way, and it, you know, obviously makes it unique. So, I think that's what's great about it all. But yeah,
it's good. The neat thing about the energy, like say for tonight, this is sort of what we were wanting to do. Is you got whoever's playing in the deli on Thursday, and there's that vibe that's going on up here, and you just on the sidewalk, you go down 20 yards maybe, and then. The music that's being played down there segues off the deli. It's not exactly the same, but it's a lot of his favorites. You know.
You're doing music over at the...
That we play on the sound.
Oh, okay.
On the stereo.
Okay. All right.
So the feel...
Just the feel.
Sure.
It blends really nice,
okay.
But it's not the exact same.
You know,
he'll have some obscure, like... he'll do some Louis Prima stuff, and then it'll be like an Italian cultural... You know,
okay.
Song, and then it'll jump into some jump blues, and,
okay.
and then some blues stuff, and some Texas blues guys. Like I forgot who was the one we were talking about last week.
Mercy Baby.
Mercy Baby, Jimmy Mullen. Jimmy had Mercy Baby Mullins.
Okay,
he was a West Dallas guy, and you know, great blues. So yeah, so people are there's a lot of energy created. So
yeah,
so
all right. Well, great meeting you, man.
Hey, you too.
Thanks for stopping in.
Alrighty.
Yeah. See you later. Lock the door on your way out.
Yeah.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah. Well, that was cool. Getting to talk about the pizza.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's get this plug out here. Like I said, we kind of touched on it, but I want to go into a little more detail with the Street Fest. This is your 12th annual, right?
12th annual anniversary.
Anniversary, okay.
Street Fest, I think we've had about 5 or 6 of them.
Okay.
Yeah, we started around 2008, I think.
Okay.
It's just an idea.
So the Street Fest is just anniversary of Blue City Deli.
We're doing it on the actual anniversary date. We usually do them in the fall.
Okay.
Late September, you know, early October.
Right.
We had one in mid-October. It starts getting cold sometimes.
Yeah.
You know how the transition happens. So.
Yeah, it's kind of rolled out.
So October 1, we're hoping for weather like, you know, just beautiful fall day, you know. But
something like today would be nice, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, October 1st, starting at 11 a.m.
Starts 11. It's real quick. It's a quick day. A lot of music in 6 hours.
Yeah. And then, so we got some of your local favorites, which I think is cool. It's all local this year also.
Local with a few... Guests that are
some guests,
rolling into town to join in on fun.
Yeah,
I can go through it if you want, or you may.
You got Big Mike and the Blue City All Stars, right? With a special guest, Marquise
Knox. Yeah, Marquise going to come and play a few songs. That's towards the end. It starts out actually.
You want to go from the
We had the Boudin Brothers down here for a Mardi Gras. Year and a half ago, whatever. Really liked it. It's fun. Some of the guys from Funky Bud and a couple of the other musicians.
Yeah.
And it's sort of that Cajun Louisiana country stuff. I really thought it would be a nice nice way to kick off, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning to kick off the festival. It's fun stuff. And the people loved them here. And so we're doing that. That's starting off the day, and that they're on from 11 to 11:45, and then high noon, here comes good old Elliot Soul and Aaron Griffin, who have been playing a lot together down at Beale, And I'm not sure who's on bass on that or drums, but they have really, Elliot and Aaron have been working together and doing some really cool stuff. We love both of those guys. They have played many times at Blue City Deli, either together or separately. And we've seen Aaron just grow. Just unbelievable amounts of his talent is just growing leaps and bounds, and his singing, you know, is coming together. And we got Elliot, who's one of my favorite Texas style blues guitar players. Great guy, love both of those guys, and they will put on a really good show. Might be, of course, everybody knows out there that most people know that one of the mainstays, Blue City Deli, Preston Hubbard, passed away a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Big loss for the city, big loss for the world. He did a lot for when he came to St. Louis. He told a lot of his friends, he had a lot of connections when he was with the Thunderbirds and Room Full of Blues, but he had a lot of connections, and he loved St. Louis. Did a lot for connecting the dots and telling people and getting the word out. And so some of those guys may show up and just pop up on stage, maybe with Elliot, and even the next set after that, after Elliot and Aaron show, their set, we got Matt Wilson, who's a phenomenal talent, plays with the Rum Drum Ramblers, one of the great songwriters, beautiful voice, great guitar player, just a really great talent. Him and our adopted son from Chicago, Felix Reyes. Felix was part, the reason he came down and found out about St. Louis and the deli was in part to Preston. And but anyway, Felix and Matt have collaborated. Little Rachel is going to get up and do a few songs on that set. Dave Herrero, who also played with Felix originally at the deli, he's going to pop down from Chicago maybe. And again, they might do a couple tunes that in honor of Preston, and so that'll be a great set. It's just going to be a free for all. It's going to be fun. After that set, I think we've got John McVay up there. John, a lot of people. I think John was on your show a couple weeks ago.
That was a real treat. He's John's another guy I've just recently met. But I've been hearing his name a lot in town. Smoking hot guitar player coming in.
He's something else.
And
he's great.
Like I said, to get to know him a little better, and it was a real, real honor, and capture some of those stories that he had to tell. And if you missed that episode, go check that one out. John is he's a treat. So
he is. I love that. Was a great show.
Yeah. Great guitar player, and I'm thrilled that he's a part of this lineup too. I'm excited to get out here and watch him play again.
Oh, that's gonna be great. So John will put on a good show. He usually comes up as a trio.
Yeah,
you know, he can great full sound out of a three piece.
I know. I think Rob Lee's playing drums now with him since
Joe
went to Nashville. Was playing drums with him when he could. And
we're gonna miss Joe Meyer.
Yeah,
Joe did a lot of street parties, did a lot of gigs at the deli. But we're happy for him. He got a big gig, and
of course.
And we wish him well, him and his family. So
that's a great opportunity for him. After John, then Big Mike and Marquise. Is that right?
Big Mike, Blue City All Stars are gonna do their thing. Marquise is gonna get up and do a few songs. And I think after that, we got the finale. Roland Johnson and his band with Paul Niehaus and the guys that did the Imagine That. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
The album. And Miss Renee Smith, who sang on that album, is going to be down here on stage with Roland. So
I think
it's just going to be rapid fire, one after the other.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, it's going to be over with.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's over right 5:45 or 5:30.
Okay.
So
and that's just right out here on the corner.
Yeah,
right?
Victor McNair. Yeah. We just block off the street and people come down, and it's a real nice, real mellow, fun crowd, and the deli's open. We're going to be selling everything on the menu at the deli, and The pizzeria is open for slices. They're going to do slices that day. And then we'll be selling some big hot dogs outside, stuff like that. And we have a beer wagon, and that's it. Real simple.
Yeah, that sounds like a Saturday to me.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. And then I was going to ask if, you know, we talked in the, you mentioned the menu, full menu and stuff. You do, and then you do like daily specials throughout the week, right?
Yeah, we've gotten creative and come up with a couple things, and we do different specials. We like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are always the same specials.
Okay.
They've sort of locked into a day, and people come down.
Yeah, the one that's been on my radar for a while that I haven't been able to make it try is the Porkalypse.
Yeah, that's the Wednesday.
Yeah.
It used to be Wednesdays only.
Right.
Because we had X amount of pretzel rolls that we would bring in from a bakery that, you know, they were baked out of town. They were frozen. And then we switched over to Companion. And so we usually have pretzel bread here. So when we were out of pretzel rolls, we were done. So people, we would sell out sometimes like in an hour and a half.
Wow.
And then so sort of got, it was sort of a good marketing piece where people would, you know, jam in here. And we do get very big crowds still on Wednesday. And people get the Porkalypse. It's it's good. It's pork roast, garlic peppered pork roast and bacon, and so there's a lot of pork on it.
Yeah.
A melted provolone on a real nice pretzel roll that's got a special sauce and pickle. Real simple.
That sounds awesome though, right? I could go for that right now.
Me too.
Yeah. But I like I put your picture up, which I often do a lot of these ask if people have any questions to ask and stuff. And Tom West, a good buddy of mine, asked about a mattress of muffaletta.
Interesting. I think I did see that. What was he wanting to
That's what he said. He was saying how much it was. Let's see. I'll make sure I quote it right here. I guess he was just that big of a fan. He would, you know, wanted a whole mattress made over there. How much would it cost for a mattress out of muffalettas?
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, classic. There it is. That's good.
Yeah. Is that a pretty big, I'm sure it's like one of the most popular menu items?
It's a real stable sandwich we have here. You know, New Orleans, it's huge. And so people that like muffalettas, that like a combination of Italian meats and olive salad, they try it. They seem to really like it. We try to be respectful to, you know, our cousins down in New Orleans, as you would say. And we feel like we have a pretty good rendition of the muffalata. It is very reminiscent of a central grocer style in that vein.
Sure.
So we serve them cold like they do. We warm them up if people want them. Most people get them cold.
Okay.
So, yeah.
There's another couple questions on here. Ronnie writes in and asks, what's the next new sandwich on the horizon at the deli?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask me that.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Ronnie.
Do you have any secret you've been working on?
We're messing around with some futuristic stuff. As far as the in the kitchen, thinking of, we're doing a lot of in-house stuff. We're baking all the roast beef's made in-house, all the pastrami's made in-house, all like the meatballs are made in-house. You know, a lot of things are being made in-house, but we don't have a fryer or a grill.
Yeah.
If we did, it could open up a new horizon.
There
so. We don't have a specific new one that we're working on, for currently, but we are sort of have our sights set to investigating the feasibility of putting something like that back there. Then you're talking shrimp, a real shrimp poor boy. Oyster poor boy. You could do some creative stuff with a fryer and a flat grill.
Yeah, for sure.
Some ribeye or something. You know, like a Philly type steak thing, or you know, whatever. It opens up a lot of avenues. A big cod poor boy. You know, I'll tell you, my favorite fish is to do like a fish poor boy, not just like a shrimp. crappie.
Yeah.
Do you ever have crappie?
I'm sure I have.
It's mild.
Yeah.
But if you season it and flour it properly, there it would be a delicious, you know, poor boy.
Right.
So I got that in my brain up there, just okay. In case. So
are you kind of a lot of these your thoughts, or do you guys have any kind of work together as a team?
Well, sometimes a lot of it happened over the years. I might be watching a food show and see something like, oh, why don't we try that? Like we did the Tony Supreme. Well, the Tony Supremo was it, which is. A root beer glazed ham. This is our Monday special. So we had like a spicy glaze made out of root beer, and we glazed the ham, so it gives it a sweet and spicy. And then the roast beef is our regular house roast beef, dipped in its au juice, and we put it together. And then we put a Creole mayo. We dress it in Creole mayo. So it's an interesting blend, and all those flavors are hitting your taste buds. Sweet, spice, sweet, spicy, and salty, you know, a little bit
more. Sure.
That is similar to a Ferdy in New Orleans, which is down a mother's poor boy shop down there, if I'm not mistaken. But I saw one on a TV show with a garlic, you know, melted cheese and garlic. So we did... We do this Big Tommy now, which is really popular. So it's grilled vegetables, grilled mushrooms, peppers, onions, hot roast beef on garlic cheese bread. That's worked real well. It's gotten real popular. It's big. So we just, you know, pick things up here and there. I might be reading something somewhere on a food blog or something that's in my mind to try or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So a couple of fellas and the girls have, you know, come up with sandwiches and name them after them. I don't know how, like the Panino Fresco, have you heard of that one? Which is our vegetarian muffalata.
Okay.
Which has the olive salad on there. And we were developing the vegetarian part of our menu. So it's a combination of a caprese, you know, fresh mozzarella, tomato, along with the muffalata, which is the olive salad, all into one. So it's a combination. So it's a vegetarian muffalata. It's real hearty.
Okay.
So stuff like that. Things just sort of come together.
Sure.
It's like a crazy laboratory back there.
Right. You know?
So sometimes. But right now nothing on the burner, but just some ideas. So.
Yeah. I guess everybody can if you haven't been down, I would highly encourage you to come down.
Thank you.
But you can check out BlueCityDeli.com.
That's the website for the food.
Yeah.
The live music links are in there.
And then it was a calendar on there, right?
Calendar, I got to get caught up on it.
Okay.
I just noticed it today. I'm like, oh, it's empty.
Yeah.
I need to fill it up for the next couple months. But you can find us on there. Mello's Pizzeria is on, too. You can link from Blue City over to Mello's and see their menu. Mm-hmm. And...
you guys, there's an official Facebook page for both the deli and Mello's.
And Mello's, yeah.
So you can get involved and keep up to date on there.
Right.
And then the Street Fest on the 1st, October 1st.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day.
Time's flying. It's coming quick.
Right. Well, Vinny, this has been awesome, man. I appreciate you taking some time out to do this.
Well, thanks a lot. It's good to talk to you and... we're glad that you're doing this, that you're doing a great justice to the city by getting the word out on all the local music and local food places. And a lot of great things going on in St. Louis.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just I'm excited to be involved in any little sense I can be. But, I'm excited to capture some of this moment because, like, I think when, you know, maybe 5 years or whatever it is, we're going to look back and we're like, there was something really cool right then, and like I just want to be the guy that kind of helped document it all, and I'm trying to highlight some of my favorite parts of St. Louis, you know, including the deli and the music and everything, and it's just I'm happy to, you know, get it out there and tell some people about some of my favorite spots. So
thank you. We're just honored to be, you know, be part of it, just a little piece of the pie.
And
I just welcome people and get out to some of these places and places that you've talked about.
Sure, support local. That's what I always say.
Oh, yeah, there's so much good local. The food, the breweries, the music, it's just there's so much. And that's why we leaned local for the street party, as I know Big Muddy did. It's, you know, it's all local.
Yeah.
But there's so much here. It's just, and I think people are really catching on to it.
Sure. Lou Fest is sort of, you know, getting there. They've got a, they've incorporated, like, I don't know, maybe like 10 local acts this year. And, you know, so it's nice to see people are really starting to take notice that there's world-class talent right here. You know, there's no reason to have to pay big bucks to get somebody else from out of town. Like, we have it right here at home. So.
Yeah, spend the money here and keep it local. And there's people all over the country, like people that have moved here, you know, like John McVay.
Yeah.
That story probably told you. He knows what's going on here, and he came here.
Sure. Yeah, this it's, like I said, just exciting times to be involved in music and in our St. Louis community. There's a lot happening. There's a lot of creative people doing a lot of really unique and fun things, and it's just, like I said, it's fun to be a part of this ride. So
better believe. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Vinny. And again, like I said, October 1st, Street Fest. Come on down. Come hungry. Get a sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.